This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And we're live right here for the Lakers post game. Lakers fast break. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here. I am mobile today from Carlsbad at the Grand Hilton Vacations Club. Got the fire pit action going right behind me here. It is the Lakers post game. Only Joe and I can think of this stuff there. There you go. Absolutely. I got a chance to see Joe live in person today, so I'm going to show pictures of that as soon as I get a chance. It is the Lakers fast break. It is the post game. Lakers come up with a big victory tonight. Yes, we know 14 feet of center weren't playing tonight, but still, great performance by the Lakers in that second half. Really bogged them down on the defensive end. Absolutely fantastic. But here today to talk about the great victory, a guy who headed up our playback coverage, it is Joe Soro. Joe, the Lakers in that second half after a back-and-forth, very offensive first half, really got it done. They really settled down. They locked down the defense in that late in the third quarter, early in the fourth, and they really got the job done tonight, Joe.
They were careless with the ball, but other than that, they did their job on offense. And, of course, Anthony Davis was a terror on in every facet of defense that you could be, especially being a short team, Minnesota, without Gobert and Cat. He was able to pretty much gobble up all the rebounds needed after all those either bad shots or missed shots, and it made a difference. It did make a difference. Minnesota kind of played above their heads a little bit. They were making every shot, it seemed like, in the first half. Then the Lakers went on a run at the beginning of the third, right before they sat LeBron. And then, of course, within 2 minutes, the game was tied again. So, yeah, it's I think the benefit tonight was Darvin Ham was able to sit LeBron enough minutes so that he could stay fresh towards the end. And it made a difference. As soon as he came into the fourth, he did something that I really liked. He started both LeBron and AD. Usually AD is probably sitting at the beginning of the fourth if they weren't as close as they were. Especially after that typical last quarter freaking shot that Minnesota made. But he started with Anthony Davis and LeBron into the fourth, and that carried him until they finally got enough distance with the lead to pretty much seal it.
Just a great performance in that second half. Joe, when you saw AD was a game-time decision, and then ultimately he was able to play, how big of a sigh of relief did you make, considering how fact that he could not move his arm on Friday night?
Well, I heard before the game time decision info, I heard that it wasn't structural. It was muscle related. And being someone who's had shoulder issues in the past, muscle versus bone is a completely different injury. Sometimes you can tweak something, and in that instance, especially if it's muscle, where you have to kind of get some treatment or you got to get it massaged out or whatever, and you're fine. looked like his was stuck. He just couldn't get his arm to maneuver. And once I found out it wasn't structural, it wasn't a torn labrum or a rotator cuff or a socket out or whatever, I felt pretty comfortable that he was going to play. I think I was more looking at LeBron, if LeBron was going to play. I found out LeBron was a game time decision. I actually felt pretty comfortable there that he was going to play. Otherwise, they would have probably just said he wasn't going to play.
Once again, it is the Lakers fast break. The Lakers do win 120-109. I am poolside here at Hilton Grand Vacations Club in Carlsbad, California. Got the fire pit action going. Pool's right over there. Thinking I might take a dip here maybe before the night is done, but also here today, good man indeed. It is, of course, the president of the D'Angelo Russell Fan Club. It is John Costa. John, great win tonight for the Lakers. Again, as I stressed to Joe, back and forth in the first half, 69-68, not exactly the greatest defensive showing in the first half, but when it came down to it, in that third quarter and early in the fourth, they really started to lock down on defense. That was the difference in the game. Yes, I know they didn't have two of their seven-footers in there, but again, we have our injuries too. Can't feel bad for them. We're, you know, right down in the bottom of the standings as far as the play-in and the playoff and all that. So we got to, every win matters for us. We're now finally six games above 500 for the first time all season. And my goodness, John, it feels good.
It definitely feels good. It definitely feels good. And I don't feel bad at all because, you know, I mean, you saw the graphic that went on during the game. We've had players like Gabe Vincent that's missed 61 games so far. Just ridiculous amount of injuries that's really bothered us this season. So I don't feel bad at all. You play whoever you got. You play who's in front of you. And tonight we got it done. It feels good. Full transparency. I did not get to watch the game the same way I had when I watched the game. I had to go pick up my baby girl from mom's house. But nonetheless, I was watching the game on my phone, saw us get this big dub. And what I saw, you know, from me watching was we really went on a really big run that, I, in my opinion, made the difference of the game is in that fourth quarter. In that fourth quarter, we started to run off, I think got a pretty, you know, comfortable lead. And then from there, I just feel like, you know, we were able to close the game out. But honestly, unexpected win, to be honest, because if the way the season's been going, it's been win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. And the last game was a win. So honestly, I thought this was a scheduled loss coming. And I'm also thought AD wasn't going to play. But glad to see AD. Glad he's not doing as bad as we all thought. And glad we got the win.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is John Costa from Lakers Corner and Clutch Talk and Joe Soro from LakersBall.com as Ox1947. Of course, Simblades. Simblades with a Y.com. A guy I had lunch with today in Temecula. Yes, there is actual proof, and I will be showing it on Facebook for Lakers Fast Break. And I think I'll actually get a chance to post it right here at the YouTube channel as well. But Joe, to me, what is more impressive? The 120 that the Lakers put out with the good, consistent offense, even in both halves, or the 109, especially in that second half where they put some lockdown defense, made sure Anthony Edwards didn't go off for 100 points tonight and made sure they got the job done?
You're on mute, Joe.
Sorry, guys. What was impressive was the health defense they had on Edwards. I thought their ability to close off lanes, their ability to press Edwards, press guys in the corner. You know, when we talk about smart coaching fundamentals, when you're fundamentally sound, you're not thinking. You're reacting. And what they were doing tonight was they were seeing certain angles that players were at, getting the ball in certain situations where they could take advantage of the double teams. Because we've been upset most of the year that they're double teaming for no reason. Like, why are you double teaming this guy who's not going to shoot? Like, this guy doesn't have a mid-range game. He doesn't have any post games. Why are you doing that?
I do.
And tonight they were able to do both. They were man-to-man when they needed to be. They were pressing when they needed to be. They were helping when they needed to be. And even when they extended too much, they were quick to reacting to the open guy and the guy that's getting the open shot. Minnesota doesn't have a big team once you take out Gobert and Cat. So the Lakers took advantage of that. Of course, AD did the most. I thought Jackson Hayes had another really good game. I think we're going to need to start watching Jackson. I think the Lakers are going to need to continue this with Jackson Hayes. I think the pick and roll with Jackson Hayes and him slashing to the basket is going to be a benefit for future games, especially against guys that are going to be of size, to keep them busy there instead of just making sure that they're not only paying attention to the offense, because there's a deficiency with guys like Jackson Hayes. There's a lot of good stuff that I'm starting to see materialize. I don't know yet how that will translate against, let's say, Sacramento on Wednesday or against Denver, but it's a start. They won these last two games, and they needed to win these last two games. Right now, looking at their schedule, since this homestand started against Washington, they've won four out of the six. So I never looked at Milwaukee and Minnesota as scheduled losses, although I know that I was worried about Milwaukee when I found out LeBron wasn't going to play, but I never had it in my mind that they were going to lose. Matter of fact, what I said was I wouldn't be surprised if they win this game, because they have a knack of winning those games when you don't think they're going to win. So they did that against Milwaukee. Today, when I found out that both Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns weren't playing, I said, they got to win this game, especially if LeBron and AD are playing. And they did, and they won, rightfully so in my book. This next game on Wednesday, I had scheduled as a loss even before all this happened. So as of right now, looking at what we had predicted in this 10-game run, you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. There's 11 games since that official homestand with the Sacramento trip, Sacramento trip. So you have 11 games there, 11 games. We had mentioned 10 because we took the Sacramento game up. But if the Lakers end up winning 7 out of 3, let's just take the Sacramento game up. But if they win 7 out of 3 to finish that little homestand there, this likely is a win for the Lakers in terms of accomplishment.
But Joe, that Sacramento game is very important because they lost the one last week. That makes it even more important to get a victory on the road in Sacramento.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. They just haven't been playing well against these guys, and I would like to make up for that loss. I'm hoping their pride is going to be screaming at them so that they can make up for that loss at home. If that's the case, then sure, let's go. But I'm thinking let's see what they do with Golden State, Atlanta, Philly, and Indiana. I think those four games should be wins. And if they are to lose on Wednesday and win those four games, I'm looking at them going through that six game road trip a little bit more comfortable. That's how I'm looking at it. I'm being realistic. Based off the performance this year, if they buck the trend and go on a run here, of course, we're going to be very happy for that.
Absolutely. But still, you're kind of guarded. Sounds like you're like me, where you still have that guarded optimism where it's like, okay, I got to see more. I got to see a little bit more. John, are you like that? I understand there's six games above 500 for the first time this year, but are you like us where you have that guarded optimism on to say, you know what, I think I need to see a little bit more before I fully buy into what the Lakers are doing right now, John?
Absolutely. I still 100% have my guard up because of I've seen this team just have so many high ups, but so many very low downs. And it's just been a roller coaster ride of a season. And right now we may just be on a high, which is great and all. And I think it's a good time to catch that high. But I'm not all the way buy in. I'm right there with you guys.
I hear you. So let me ask you this. D'Angelo, way he was a support character today, he went from being the main guy on Friday to someone in a supporting role. Austin Reaves hitting clutch shots in the key as far as at the key moments of the game. Also, you had LeBron, yeah, doing a lot of what I think that Joe and I want him to do more, driving to the basket, getting fouled, getting to the line. AD obviously giving what AD can, but D'Angelo wasn't needed as much today. Did that bother you that he was a little bit out of sync with what the offense was doing today?
No, that doesn't really bother me. I don't, you know, I am the president of D'Angelo Russell Fan Club, but I don't think that I don't want to, you know, force something that's not there. And as much as I love D'Angelo Russell,
asking for 9 threes every game, you're not asking for 9 threes.
I'm not asking for 9 threes every game. I mean, okay. if he could give it to us, you know, and if the defense gives that to him, then I'd be cool with him taking those 9 threes. But I don't want him coming down court forcing up 9 threes just to get 9 threes. And I mean, as much as like I was saying, as much as I like D'Angelo Russell, I think still a better option coming down court is run the ball through first LeBron. I mean, Anthony Davis and first LeBron. You know, do that. But as far as like D'Lo, I think it actually just we should give him more credit for the fact that he went from being that number one guy and here let me take over to now I can also fit in and have a 13.9 six assists. So to me, I'm just gonna give him more credit. It means he's versatile and can do a little bit of everything.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Once again, the Lakers do win 120-109. It is Gerald Glassford along with John Costa from Clutch Talk and Lakers Corner and Joe Sorrell from LakersBall.com. Guys, I am live from the Grand Hilton Vacations Club here in Carlsbad, California. I've got the fire pit right behind me, pools right behind me as well. I may take a dip later. But the thing is, Joe, when I'm doing this mobile, I can see all the comments as far as that there are comments going. I can't, but my phone is so, the screen's small enough where I can't make out exactly how Kurt is picking on me today. So I know he's ripping me a new one. I just don't know how. Yeah, I just Kurt, don't know how. So it's,
Kurt,
you know.
Kurt's ripping you one.
Kurt's got free reign today on me.
Yeah, Kurt's ripping you one, and it's very, very, very good. Good ripping.
Yeah, it's usually good when it comes. But he always brings it. He always brings it. But
The thing with to continue the D'Angelo Russell discussion.
Yes.
You'd notice that they were aggressively guarding him tonight. They weren't really letting him have any space. And he made a couple of bad shots because of it. I think he was trying to get in the rhythm. I think his confidence was so high that he thought, oh, I can make this basically the guy was in his pocket. But that's not the case. That's not the case sometimes. That's the part where you have to be careful. You got to make the smart plays. Tonight, there was one really bad negative all game long was turnovers. They were notoriously weak and controlling the ball and just getting turnover after turnover after turnover. This game should have been over the second quarter in a lot of ways, but they just could not keep the ball from not being an issue. But D'Angelo did. He got looked on a little bit. Now, here's what that did. So because they were aggressively on D'Lo, you found that LeBron was getting a little bit more room to the basket. Because I was standing there, Mike. Sometimes when you're into the game, you're not paying attention to the normal stuff. So I'm standing like, man, LeBron is really getting to the basket real easy. Like, just because I was fixated on the game. And then I go, oh. Because that's the part I've told you guys, I'm talking about the crowd, sometimes if you can, pay attention to the game. Don't pay attention to the ball. It's very hard because you're invested in the ball going into the basket. But if you can, especially if they have like a 13-point lead type, it's a little easier when they have a lead. Pay attention to how the defense works within that offense that the Lakers are running. Tonight, the reason why LeBron was able to get to the basket is because they couldn't leave D'Angelo. They couldn't. And, of course, Austin was hitting his shots. Rui was hitting his shots. So they – guys, it's a very simple process when it comes to LeBron James. You want LeBron to get to the basket, make your damn shots. You make your shots, LeBron will take you home. And that is the greatest offense you can have. Why? Because you have a 6'8" freak of nature going to the basket. That's a high percentage shot. The only shot that's – matter of fact, actually, I think that's a better shot than Shaq in his prime because you still got to get the ball to Shaq, whereas LeBron has the ball. You always go with the guy that can control the ball. That's why it's very hard to call centers the greatest baseball players of all time, similar to how you can't really call a pitcher the greatest baseball player of all time. They're regulated too much. They can't bat. Shaq, he's not going to dribble the ball. He needs to have the ball given to him. So tonight, if I'm looking at film, I tell the guys, you just need to clean up your turnovers. And I mean like a lot. And when you guys make your shots, this is what happens. You open up the lane for LeBron. And of course, what better player in terms of big can you get than AD when it comes to still being able to clear that lane for him and still be effective in getting those offensive rebounds like he did tonight?
And to
go
to
for add, it, John.
No, I was gonna say, you know, to add to that, Joe, we were all talking about D'Angelo Russell, and then you talked about how the defense the lane opened up a lot more for LeBron because the defense was so glued to D'Angelo Russell. And that's just a whole nother aspect of his game that, again, we can just another layer to appreciate him for being able to step up. And now he's drawn that huge defensive attention. And even that alone right there is just another layer and more credit to my boy D'Angelo Russell.
I can just see now. I can see JSJ. I can actually see. I'm watching the chat, but my screen is only large enough to showcase like Gerald. I can see Gerald, but I can't see what really they're just like ripping me on here. Again, I got the fireplace going. It's nice and toasty warm here out here on a nice evening here in Carlsbad, California. It is the Lakers fast break. It is Gerald Glassford along with Joe Sorrell and John Costa. Truly appreciate you joining us. If you've not yet liked and subscribed, please like, follow on Facebook, subscribe to get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest Lakers Fast Break podcast. Joe, I mean, we got to keep this momentum going, especially for a very important game in Sacramento, because if they lose that one in Sacramento, they don't have a chance of passing them up in the standings.
Yeah, for the Lakers, the goal has to be to guarantee yourself a spot. That's the key here. The only seed that can guarantee you a spot is a 7 seed. So that's the least placement that they need to get to. If they go to 8, they stay at 9 or go back down to 10, there's a huge risk that they won't make it to the playoffs. And it starts with winning Wednesday. They have to win these West games. And it would help, I would say. But they're not going to win every game the rest of the way. So you're going to have to get realistic on what's going on. I'd say maybe AD finally says to himself, I'm 0-9 against Sabonis. I'm coming for him Wednesday. I know I'd be gassing him up. Tomorrow, the next day, I'd be like, AD, this fool owns you. He owns your ass. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to punk him in his own crib? Like, dude, Sacramento is Staples North. Come on. Make Kobe proud. Make Shaq proud. I used to watch the Lakers go up to the old Arco Arena and basically turn it into NoCo or Shaqco or Kobeco. It's time to go ADCo now, right? Although it's the Golden One. So, well, Golden One, you got LeBron James, who's the king, right? Well, put your gold crown on, man. Come on. Get this thing figured out against Sacramento. I'm getting tired of getting beat by these guys. And I think Wednesday would be a good start, because then the next four games are against teams where you're probably going to be favored. You were going to be favored in all four of those games. So win on Wednesday, and you'll be favored for four games after that to finish this homestand and really, really deal with a brutal six-game road trip. It is going to be way brutal, more brutal than the one during the Grammy trip. And this is going to tell you a lot about the Lakers, this road trip, after they're done with this homestand. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing it, especially if they're going to have results like this.
Go ahead, John.
I was going to say, earlier, I actually meant to say this, but I had forgot, to be honest. But like I mentioned, I didn't get to watch this game as like deeply analyzing as I usually like to watch, and just like without being distracted or whatnot. But one thing that I am seeing here in the box stats, and Joe, you talked about a lot of turnovers, is I'm seeing Austin Reeves and LeBron led the way with turnovers. I mean, let's not. I'd be crazy to say to, you know, take the ball out of LeBron's hands, because, you know, that's just LeBron James. But as far as like Austin Reeves, and you guys tell me how you guys feel about this, but I actually noted this on my last game, because I take notes on every single game that I'm watching. And I felt like even last game, like there's times where Austin Reeves is bringing the ball up court when D'Angelo Russell's on the court. And like, I don't know how I feel about that. Like I like Austin Reeves, but more as a two. Like, I honestly don't really want him bringing the ball up court, especially if D'Lo's on the court, because I need him to be the point guard. I need him to initiate the offense. So, and again, I see, like I said, see high turnover rate in this game. So you guys, let me go. You guys that like were watching the game a little bit more intently this game, like, was Austin Reeves again bringing the ball up court? Or, like, what was the deal? Or were these just nilly-willy turnovers? Because again, top tier, I'm leading the team almost in turnovers, like, for a second, third time.
During the season, though, the Lakers have been one of the better teams. In fact, one of the best at holding on to the ball. So when they have a game like this, hopefully it stays an outlier as opposed to being the norm continuing going forward. So I'm hoping they'll go back to their being careful with the ball ways. So turnovers hopefully will not be an issue for this team going forward. At least that's what I'm seeing. If you average it out over the course of the season, they're still one of the best. And the fact is, on the good side, we've talked all year, Joe, about how bad this team was shooting from the outside. They're now knocking on the door of the top 10 three-point shooting teams in the league. What a surprise that is. I mean, we were just begging just to even for them to get to the middle of the pack. And look at them now, Joe. Look at them now.
Well, it makes a difference when you have someone like D'Angelo Russell hitting 47% from three since January 1. You have Austin Reeves, who we've been begging to get the ball in open space as much as you can, because he seems to hit open shots. Ruiz helped as well. Torian Prince isn't playing as many minutes, which has been a benefit, because he's able to make shots better when he plays less than 20 minutes a game. We had a new patron here on our chat.
What's up? How you doing?
Is it Chris Vivenko? He had a question.
Welcome, Chris.
I'm going to answer this again. Sorry, guys, if I don't get to you quick enough. The more people,
I know. I'm sorry. I can't see the chat very well off my phone, so I apologize. Chris, I did see the high cool bro. What's going on, cool bro?
Chris was wondering why we're leaving Naz Reid open. Well, with all due respect to Naz Reid, Naz Reid was trying to make a Michael Porter Jr. impression tonight, and he almost did it.
Yeah,
and sometimes that's what you got to do, because you have someone like Anthony Edwards, whom I seem to be the only one that's not as impressed with him as most of the league. I'm not saying he's not talented. I'm not saying he's not a freak of nature and can be a star, but there's something missing still with Anthony Edwards. And tonight,
but their game, focus was on him.
It was, and the Lakers did make it difficult. But that's the point. Point is, there's only so much you're going to convince me that this guy is the next big thing, because when you're the next big thing, it doesn't matter if they put three guys on you, you still make it hell for those guys, if you want to call him that guy. He's not that guy. I don't see it yet. And usually it's hard for me to see it later. But the Minnesota Timberwolves were playing a little above their heads on offense the first two quarters. They were making almost every shot. But the Lakers kept up with them, and that's all you can ask for. They kept up with them even with the turnover issues. Then once the third quarter started, they iced back down, and then the Lakers were able to go and get a 13-point lead until the Lakers did their proverbial, okay, we got this thought mindset. And then, of course, 3 minutes later, it's a tie game. This is status quo. This is why we kind of are apprehensive in getting any kind of momentum prediction or idea.
This is why we're buying all in. We're not buying all in.
You can't ever really buy in, especially with the fact that the Lakers don't really have a bench. And Spencer Dinwiddie tonight might have had the worst game he's had, which says a lot, in his Laker tenure. He was terrible tonight. And Darvin Ham took him out at the right time. So, again, kudos to Darvin Ham. I thought his rotations were pretty good tonight. I think the one that won the game for sure was letting LeBron and AD start the fourth when typically AD sits the fourth. I think if he hadn't done that, I don't know if they would have been able to kind of extend to this, because AD was those offensive rebounds were absolutely devastating to Minnesota. If he's not getting those rebounds, Minnesota could have gone on a run, especially if you did have to deal with Anthony Edwards having some confidence and not being able to guard him with a couple guys. He could have been a problem. He could have been a major problem in that beginning of the fourth quarter. So again, this basketball game, especially when it comes to professional NBA basketball, one little decision can make a difference. Just like in the NFL, one little decision can win you a Super Bowl or lose you a Super Bowl. It's that close. So it's important to have good coaches. It's important to not make mistakes. And it's important to do the fundamentals. Not everyone's going to make shots. Not everyone's going to be able to guard certain players. But if you can do those three, you are going to set yourself up for a lot more wins than losses.
To jump in here real quick, because I see whoever it is, Cali 69 person is in the chat, said this guy didn't watch the game when I was talking about the Austin Reeves take. First of all, I did not say Austin Reeves had a bad game, and I already said that I was not able to watch the game the same way that I do every single game. So if you want to start coming at people, we can gladly do that, brother. But my point was about the turnovers. It is this game. It is last game. It is the game prior to then. He almost every time is leading the team in turnovers. And what I was saying was, let's not have Austin Reeves bring the ball up court, because he is not a playmaker. Our playmakers on the court are D'Angelo Russell and LeBron James. So if either of those guys are on the court, I don't want Austin Reeves bringing the ball up court. That was my only point.
Ball handling's been an issue for him, especially in traffic, for quite some time. Ever since he's been in the league, I've made note of it. But he seems at times to be able to look like he's handling it, like his ISO balls when he ISOs. And you say to yourself, okay, he's really improving there. But then again, you see the turnovers. So, like you said, he's really good as a spot-up shooter. And obviously, he has that when he does the ISO ball routine. He absolutely has great success with it. So it's kind of concerning when you see the fact that he's not able to put it together 100%, especially when it comes to the turnovers. But I get your point. But he did have overall a good strong game, and he was able to hold off and get a lot of help in guarding Anthony Edwards, which obviously was very much needed, because they needed all the help they could get on Ant tonight.
Yeah, honestly, Austin Reeves is a really good scorer, and really good scorers in basketball, where they need to be is that two position, not that one position, especially with the team that we have. Because with the team that we have players that need to be set up. They need to get play. They need to get the play made for them, and then they can go ahead. They can go ahead and finish it. I.e. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, i.e. Jackson Hayes, i.e. all these guys that are on our team that really need the play made for them. And Austin Reeves, like I mentioned, that's not his strong suit. His strong suit is going to get a bucket, which I love it. But players like that, you need to put at that two position, because it's also kind of, I'm not comparing him to Devin Booker.
Well, he's not a point guard. At various times, the Lakers have tried to make him a point guard, or at least a guy as far as a backup point guard, when the normal point guard rotation is down. So at times he's had to handle the ball. Tonight he didn't, obviously, as much as he needed to with LeBron there. But LeBron, you're always going to get the turnovers just because of its usage. Yeah. You're just going to get there. The thing is with AR, how much are you willing to take as far as how much of the ball do you want in his hands? I personally would love to have him as a spot up, and someone maybe could go ahead and do his ISOs on occasion. But if you're asking him to do too much, that's when you see the turnover start.
Yeah, and that's why I think that two position is low. Look at Gerald getting some service right now. Look at that. I love to see it. But anyway, that's when you see him at that two position. At that two position is where I like to see him at, because he just has to worry about getting the ball and going to get a bucket. So that's all. Gerald having a great time right now. You're on mute, Gerald.
I was, because we're just positioning things around here at the Hilton Grand Vacations Club right here in beautiful Carlsbad, California. It is the Lakers fast break. Joe, I ask you this. The team is now 6 games over 500. So I ask you, is the possibility there for the Lakers to get to 10 games over 500 before the end of the season?
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
That's a good question. Ask me that question after the homestand.
Okay, fair enough. Because I think the Sacramento game is really important if that's the case.
Because let's say they lose to Sacramento, let's just say, and then they win the next 4 games at home. They're sitting at 9 games over 500. And then before they go into their 6-game road trip. If they do that, then they can come back from the road trip 3-3 and still be at 9. And then they can finish off the year probably winning one more game than they lose and finishing 10 games over 500, which would mean they would probably be looking at, 47-35?
That's 12 games over 500.
You'd have to be 46-36, yeah.
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 That 40, to me, I think 46 or 45 wins, I think, is realistic for
them. They have to win 10 of the remaining games. 10 of the remaining 16 games.
I think that's doable.
Which is doable. Yeah. I think that's doable.
What do you think, John?
That is absolutely doable. But I'm going to be honest. I don't want to get my hopes too high. Partially because, like I mentioned, and I've said this so many times, I think it's so upsetting the fact that my expectation just has came drastically down. That like throughout the season has gone. Like I said, I was drinking the Kool-Aid before the season started. I was like, oh man, we have championship potential. We really might do this. And then as the season dragged on, I was like, all right, let's just finish as a top 16. I think we could do that. I think we got that. And then now I'm like, let's just please try to somehow stay in this plane. So it's doable, but I'm not gonna wish on stars.
Okay, no worries. The only reason I'm asking, because it's something that I think that the Lakers, if they want to go ahead and climb up the standings even more, John, they have to be at around 10 games above 500. If you are thinking out there, because people talk about 7. 8th, you know, because people are still talking about that for the Lakers. They have to be in that range in order to get, they have to have that record, John, in order to get at that level. If they're only 5 games above 500, John, that's not going to get it done. They're still going to be in 10th place if that's the case.
Yeah. I mean, it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough. I want to see the Warriors schedule. I don't know it off the top of the head, but I want to see.
The Warriors schedule is a lot easier than the Lakers. I'll leave you with that.
Well, I would hope so, because I mean, not that I would actually, I wouldn't hope so, but I would guess so, because I know the Lakers have a super, super tough schedule.
Yes. And plus the games on the road, even their easy games, like at Washington, that comes off a back-to-back. Joe, that's the thing. We talked about it. They're still, when they go on the road, there's still two, not one, but two back-to-backs they'll be doing. Wasn't it Toronto, Washington, one of them? I think that, again, normally that looks like two easy wins, but it's back-to-back, which makes it all that more tougher.
It's worse than that. They have two back-to-backs. That means they're essentially playing, they're going to have 2 days off in those six games. So they're going to play Milwaukee, Memphis to start the road trip. Back to back. Then they have a day off. Then they play Indiana. Then they have a day off and play Brooklyn. Then they have 3 days off. My mistake. 3 days off. And then to finish the road trip, they got to go to Toronto, then go back down to Washington the next night. It's a brutal way to end the season. Absolutely brutal. And
for a team that already played one more game than anybody
here's
else.
The problem too. Here's the other problem. They're finishing up the season on the road in conference. The only problem is they're playing the two teams in conference that are the furthest away from California, from the Western Conference.
Of course.
And New Orleans. Both Memphis and New Orleans technically should be an East team. They should be East teams. Matter of fact, when Vegas gets a team and Seattle gets their team, when they expand, it's very, very, very likely that Memphis is going to be the team that moves to the East to even out the conferences.
And New Orleans, remember, they're still fighting for the fifth playoff spot.
I don't think they're fighting anymore. I think they've solidified it. Yes, right now they're two games ahead of Phoenix and Sacramento, and they've won four in a row. I don't see how anybody's going to probably catch them if they continue to play the way they're playing.
Yeah, that's
true. The Lakers' only shot right now is to get, really honestly, is the seventh seed. If they want to get a guaranteed spot. But it's very likely they're going to probably get as high as eight and stop there.
Real quick, Robert, sure. Robert Wheeler in the chat here said, John, what do you think the floor and the ceiling is for this Lakers season? So I don't know if you mean like seeding wise or just like the actual team, but I can answer both of those. As far as seeding wise, yeah, I agree with Joe. I mean, I think ceiling, if all goes right, not only for us, and we can not have any little LeBron hiccup anymore. I mean, AD can't have those little hiccups anymore. And we have to continue to play well as a collective unit. I think that ceiling could be like, could be an eighth seed. A seventh seed is just I don't think it's too doable. But what I will say is, as far as like playoff wise, because I've been saying this before the season even started, I think this team is built for the playoffs. Like we're a team that's betterly built to play in a 7-game series than versus this 82-game season. Partially because a very important piece of this team running at its best is a 39-year-old. So I totally understand why that's the case. So that's, you know, that's understandable. But like I was saying, so I would say probably around like that eighth seed. But as I mentioned, playoffs. And I remember I told this to Joe, and I remember Joe said that not a lot of teams are afraid of us. And I agree. I don't think people are like shivering their pants, scared of us, but I don't think anybody wants to run up against. I don't think people are choosing us. I think people would rather, you know, duck smoke and go for another team.
If we're healthy and we're still shooting like we are, John, then we do present a problem for some teams out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, let's remember, guys, that at the end of the day, like when you have this 7-game series, you get the chance to hone in and lock in on one team. And we've seen LeBron James in the past. Like, he is able to hone in and lock in on a whole nother level on opposing teams. And also in that 7-game series, instead of it being 82-game season, we're not trying to preserve LeBron for the entire season. So what it's going to be a lot more LeBron James and Anthony Davis pick and rolls. And that right there is, I still think to this day, just one of the most dominant plays that there still is out there, and just some unstoppable plays, especially if you are able to fill the correct shooters around LeBron and Anthony Davis. So I'll say that. And then as far as floor, seeding wise, we won't get nowhere. The 10th seed, absolutely won't get it, Joe. We won't get any worse than the 10th seed. But as far as like playing wise, floor would be honestly. Remember when we were on that really bad like losing streak, and that during our homestand, that was probably a floor because D'Lo wasn't stepping up. LeBron was still taking games off. Like, he thought we were just gonna figure this out. But as far as that, I'm not really gonna be worried about that right now because we're not falling no lower than 10th seed. But I appreciate your question, Robert. No, that was long winded. I will answer all the questions that come to me.
No, absolutely appreciate all the comments and questions out there. It is the Lakers fast break. The Lakers do win 120 to 109. Joe, doesn't get any easier, my friend, because going to Sacramento and then you still got tough games behind it before you go out on the road. You said you've got that little easy stretch with some teams at home, but mixed in is some really tough schedule. The Lakers have to stay focused. The thing also as well is LeBron has to stay healthy. But we talked about it Friday. The ball seemed to move really well without LeBron and AD in the lineup, but yet you see them come back today and get the victory with LeBron and AD. Your thoughts, my friend? LeBron, how many games do you think he needs to play over the course of the last 16 games?
At least 13. If you're going to sit him on the Washington game, sit him in the, let's say if they're on the road, you could maybe sit him for the Brooklyn game. If you want to give him 3 days off, something like that would be the after the Indiana game, it'd be 30th, 31-1, and then play Toronto in a back-to-back. I'd say that would be something that it would depend on how they start off that those first three games on the road. He's definitely going to play the Milwaukee one. I think Memphis is likely the game he'll probably sit, or AD will sit one of them. I'd keep one of them. My advice on that is keep one at least, no matter what. And play it by ear at that point.
Okay.
Play it by ear. It's difficult. It's a difficult thing to gauge because AD is playing very well against non-elite big men. When he's played the elite big men, that's when he struggles.
Would you sit down AD, John? Would you sit down AD? Because
I didn't sit down Anthony Davis. For anything, honestly, at this
okay, because he is starting to get banged up after you saw the injury with the shoulder coming back from it.
We sit down Anthony Davis, this team's going to fall dramatically. Okay. I think
he's. You concur with that, Joe?
Yeah, there's no way. None of them can sit. So you're asking what the ceiling is. The ceiling will depend on if Vanderbilt and Gabe Vincent can be viable role players. Viable as in Vanderbilt plays elite defense. I shouldn't say elite, very good defense like he was before he got injured and hits a couple of shots here and there. You got that. And if Gabe Vincent can play average defense and can hit a couple of shots, now we're not so heavy on the starters. Now we're not holding our breath when Spencer Dinwiddie comes in or Torian Prince, even though Torian Prince hasn't really been a problem. I think he's doing enough to where he's playing enough and contributing enough tonight. You know, shot 3 out of 6, 24 minutes, scored 6 points. He's a plus minus 11. That's Prince's game right there. That's the perfect amount of minutes, if not maybe a little less. Jackson Hayes is someone that I've been very, very, very proud of. I got to be honest. He was the pick and roll offense for Jackson Hayes. It's created such amazing room. And why has it done that? Well, D'Angelo Russell.
There you go, Joe.
Because now they can't sag. You sag, and if you don't go over that screen, bye bye. Guess what? If you do, if you're a half a second slow, all of a sudden here goes Jackson Hayes with his athleticism to the basket, and it's over. Look, guys, basketball is not a difficult sport. It really isn't. You know what's difficult? Baseball, golf, math, cricket, pickleball. I'm just kidding about the last one. Basketball is extremely easy, especially when you're 8 feet tall and can jump and move. Think about it. Jackson Hayes was the 8th overall pick in the NBA draft. Why? Because he can jump, he can move fast, and he's tall. And sometimes I'll just say maybe he'll be this, because you can't grow somebody like him. You can't teach someone his speed, and you can't teach someone like him how to jump. You can't. That's all natural. So there's a little bit of fundamental advancements going on now. There's also a lot of confidence. D'Lo, AR, Rui, they're making their shots when they're open. They're getting to the basket. The only thing I ask of them is try to get rid of this nonsense shooting. Stop doing that. Just don't do it. Unless you want to do it with a 16, 18 point lead, you know, and you feel pretty comfortable just to give it a shot every now and then. But I still wouldn't do that because it creates bad habits. The Lakers need to tighten up their turnover situation a little bit and just keep doing what they're doing. And we're going to wait and see if Gabe Vincent can acclimate himself after basically missing the whole year. I don't know how he's going to be a positive player on this. Who's ever done that? Who's basically not played all year and then all of a sudden is part of a title run that helps the team win? I don't know anybody that's done that.
It's honestly kind of dangerous to the team at this point. Like, he might come in and kind of ruin some things, to be honest.
Vanderbilt, though, if he does get healthy and does come back, he's different because he's not relied upon on the offensive scheme.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because Vando is really just, like I said, defensive. Reason we got him there is for to be a defensive menace. But I think that when Gabe comes back in, a reason that we brought him in is to not be one of those guards that, you know, is able to run the pick and roll, is able to play make, is able to knock down a 3-point shot. And I just, those are all things that you do in rhythm with your team. And hasn't gathered any rhythm with nobody. So it's going to be a tough one. I'm not going to lie. Again, I think I'm sold. And I know this is crazy because the man's played like 5 games, but in those 5 games, it was just so far off and far removed from the Heat culture, Gabe Vincent, that we saw. I'm honestly convinced, even if it's 5 games, call me crazy, I don't really care, that we got finagled again by another one of those Heat culture players who just, they perform well in that Miami Heat structure, because if you can just buy into what they got going on, I think, in my opinion, the best coach in the league right now, and they got just a great organization all around and good leaders on the team, so you buy into their system, then you can just look like a good player, i.e. Kendrick Nunn, i.e. Gabe Vincent, and i.e. freaking Hassan Whiteside. Like, to be honest, man, these are – gladly we didn't take the bait on Hassan Whiteside. I mean, he wasn't available, but we took the bait on Kendrick Nunn, and now my man's is in, like, Germany playing basketball, and I think we for sure took the bait on Gabe Vincent, and – hopefully he'll prove me wrong, but I don't believe it.
Once again, it is the Lakers fast break. The Lakers do win 120 to 109. Joe and John, I think I should be able to close this out before Joe comes on with his nightcap here in about 7 minutes. At the top of the hour, it is Lakers nightcap with Joe Sorrell. I'll have just enough battery for that, John, just to give you FYI, because I'm about 14%, but I should be able to finish it out strong. But don't forget, everyone, please hop over to Joe's Nightcap, Lakers Nightcap with Joe Sorrell tonight, where we'll be talking about, I'm assuming, the Lakers victory even more, but also what else you got planned? A new acquisition for the Steelers, possibly?
Yeah, we'll discuss a little Russell Wilson since it just happened right before the show. And then we'll talk more Lakers because I know most of our nightcappers like to talk Lakers instead of kind of veering off into other subjects. We'll play it by ear. I always try to get into a let the defense come to you type mindset when it comes to the show. And with that, I am going to go prepare for that. And thank you for having me on here.
You got it, my friend.
And we'll see you on Wednesday. I'm assuming you're coming back Wednesday.
No, I'll still be on the road doing something mobile on Wednesday. I told you, my girl, you know, we had the concert, remember?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, so I'll be doing something.
We'll figure out the
I may be near Staples Center.
Good. We'll figure out the structure if this seemed to work out. So maybe we can continue this until you get back. But in the meantime, right, I'll start preparing my drinks here for the nightcap, Sunday nightcap, a little special nightcap for tonight, especially with the win. And again, for those of you who can't make it, we'll see you on the next one on Wednesday, and then we'll go from there.
We'll see if we can try and provide some good stuff for you in the meantime, maybe Monday or Tuesday, do a show then. But it is Joe Sorrell. Please join him in a few minutes right there on, of course, the Lakers Fast Break channel on YouTube and Facebook. But John, before we head on out, just want to hear some good thoughts, my friend, on the Lakers. And again, a big victory tonight. Lakers 6 games above 500 for the first time all season. Your thoughts, my friend, before we head on out.
Look, guys, big victory tonight. We mentioned being over 500. That's huge. But what I'll say is we got to keep it rolling, man. I'm expecting a win next game, I'll be honest with you. Even though Anthony Davis has been dominated by Sabonis, I really hope that he has some type of, you know, pride, some type of fight in him and says, yo, all right, come on. I'm not going to let this dude outdo me. Like, I'm the better player. I'm the more dominant player. Let me go out there and make a statement game, get another big win. That'll put us in a nice little win streak because I really was expecting, like, honestly, Gerald, I know it sounds crazy, but I was expecting an L today. So I was expecting an L today. So if we got the win today, we'll get the win against the Kings. Keep it rolling. I think out of all these teams, like, the Hawks and the Warriors are going to be easy games. So hopefully we can get those two as well. And then, honestly, just keep it pushing. That was real optimistic of me, but if we can do it, I'm very happy. We just got to play hard. And honestly, I appreciate everybody of being on here. And thank you once again, Gerald, for giving me the chance to come on here. And hopefully our Lakers team can get a big win here.
You got it, my friend. Appreciate it as well. But before we head on out, I do want to ask once again, the game on Wednesday is truly important because if you don't win that game in Sacramento, the Lakers, even if they come close to or tie Sacramento, it's not going to matter because there'll be two games. You know, the tiebreaker is all Sacramento. So that's how big this game is coming up here on Wednesday.
Anthony Davis, man. We're leaning on you. We're leaning on you. And we're going to see what, you know, this is where they separate the boys from the men. Is Anthony Davis going to step up here? There's no way he doesn't hear the noise. There's no way. He's probably in the chat right now, Joe. He's probably in the chat right now thinking like, damn.
We've had Joe Ingles in the chat. So there you go.
So there you go, right? There you go. He's probably in the chat right now saying, all right, I need to get this together because I'm 9-0. My boys here at the Lakers fast break are getting on me. So come on, Anthony Davis. We're leaning on you, man. All of LA.
So what have you got planned this week, my friend, as far as for your channels, Lakers Corner and Clutch Talk?
Yes. So I will be dropping some great content on Lakers Corner and Clutch Talk. So you guys, please come check me out. Clutch Talk is my NBA talk show. I drop 2 episodes per week. That's on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And also I will do, and on my Lakers Corner, that's strictly on YouTube. And that's just where I bring all type of Lakers content. And then I will be also, if it's cool with you, Gerald, at some point going live here on Lakers Fast Break. I don't know when yet. I have to look at my schedule, but I'm going to text Gerald to get that all figured out. I'll make sure to make the announcement for you guys because love going live with all the chat here, man. You guys come join us. Big old Lakers therapy session. I just read everybody's comments and.
Okay, well, that's good because I'm glad you've been reading them because I can't really see them 100%. So let me ask you this. How many people have talked about the nice flaming pit behind me? layers of hell, devil, whatever. All those jokes there.
We've they've all been talking about that. They've been talking about your haircut, Gerald. They've been like,
I got my haircut like 2 weeks ago. These guys are slow.
Come on, guys. You guys not paying attention yet. People are saying nice haircut, Gerald, but they said you're by the fire. They said you might take a swim. So
the pool's right behind me here. Right after the pit. There's the pool there and the jacuzzi. So I'm thinking about doing that here in a bit.
Gerald, you should do it. 805 Hiking just said, Gerald looks 10 years younger. So there you go. There you go. And look, Gerald, you deserve it, man. You deserve it. So, take the time, take the vacation, enjoy, take the hot tub, the pool, whatever it is, man.
Gerald, well, I got my family over there. They're at the other fire pit. They've got the s'mores ready for me. So go. I'm going to have some s'mores first. There you go. Can't do a fire pit without some s'mores. So
there you go. No, you can't. No, you can't. Well, we appreciate you, Gerald.
No, I appreciate you, my friend. Give me the backup in case my phone went down. So I appreciate it, my friend. It is John Costa. Please go ahead and check out his great stuff that he is doing each and every day right there for you at Lakers Corner, Clutch Talk, plus also Empire Jeff TV. He was in the chat. Please give him a shout out. Also as well, Lakers in 5. John McCallion channel, and of course, our good friends, LakerHolics.com. Laker Tom, he was here on the weekend with Jamie Sweet. They commandeered the channel on Saturday. You know he's got to be happy. Now, he sent me a neat little email on LeBron's time and some things of that nature as far as just little things, little hints that he's asking me to get more on board with what the Lakers are doing. And I'm like, this is the Lakers. They've been like up and down all season. I don't know, but it's getting better for me. It's getting better, John. It's getting more realistic that the Lakers are.
Yes. I mean, we just gotta. And I'm not fully bought in yet. But you know what? Maybe they'll make me a believer if we can get this this Kings game, this Warriors and Hawks game. Let's see.
We'll see. But it is the Lakers fast break. Thanks so much for joining us. Joe is on right now. Please hop over to Joe, because if you're going to have a nightcap, have it with Joe right now. On the Lakers Fast Break podcast. Thanks everyone for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Go ahead and check out Joe on his nightcap right now. Thanks so much again for joining us right here at the Lakers Fast Break.